Hey, everybody, no surrendering. We are not going to give up and all of a sudden say that a Biden presidency is inevitable. We are going to fight this, slow down the process, and go through constitutionally how President Trump can win a second term. This and so much more made possible by all of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. The constitutional reset that we all need. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here, host of The Charlie Kirk Show. Happy Thanksgiving week. We have so much to be thankful for. In the midst of all of this chaos, uncertainty, and confusion, we still live in the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. Our country is so remarkable for so many different reasons. Our people, our history, our traditions, our culture, and also the incredible Constitution of the United States. The Constitution is the greatest political document ever written in the history of the world. The Constitution is the longest remaining political document that has had an unchanged preamble beginning since its ratification. It's because the Constitution was not written for the times, it was written to stand the test of time. In fact, the Constitution was written for moments like this. You see, the Constitution was written by wise men who understood that human beings are going to want to assume total and complete power over a citizenry and over a country. This is nothing new. The Greeks, the Romans, the British Empire dealt with this problem. Many writers spent their entire life trying to explain how to govern people correctly. Montesquieu did a lot of work with this. John Locke, Rousseau was a total confused fool when it came to this topic, but still did a lot of work, especially on the social contract nonetheless. But the U.S. Constitution was a distillation of the best writings, ideas, and work around the idea of the preservation and the protection of natural rights. What makes the Constitution different than many of the governing documents of Europe is that it's a state-centric document. The states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. The Articles of Confederation did not give enough authority to a centralized power. And so the Constitution was the next best effort, and it really accomplished the task. You see, the Constitution has some things that Malibu and Manhattan metropolitan elites kind of make fun of. They don't quite understand, such as the brilliance of the Electoral College, the system of checks and balances. You see, for a metropolitan radical revolutionary, Che Guevara shirt-wearing Maoist sympathizer, the U.S. Constitution is a little bit annoying, and it should be. As the great Justice Antonin Scalia said, we must fall in love with the gridlock, that the process matters. What makes the U.S. Constitution so different and why it was written just for a time like this is that it's very hard to revolutionize and dominate the United States of America. We're a very difficult country to dominate because of our inherent decentral, non-authoritarian construct. It takes 6 years at minimum to take over every single portion of the American government. And the United States Constitution is the only firewall we have right now against the power grabbers and the media elites that wish to usher in a great reset. Dare I say, we need a constitutional reset right now in our country. The founding fathers had clairvoyance that can only be described as the capacity to see something that was going to happen before it actually happened. They gamed out every possible scenario. And mind you, they didn't see the American Civil War coming. They didn't get slavery correct. Even though it's a lot more nuanced than that, there is a slavery ban in the original ratification of the U.S. Constitution of no new slaves coming into the United States 20 years after ratification. They didn't quite get women's suffrage correct. It was the Republican Party that passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. However, the Constitution remains a bulletproof, fail-safe document to protect the rights of individual Americans against mobs and movements that wish our great country harm. You see, the U.S. Constitution has many different remedies to what we are experiencing right now in our country. That there is not a national Politburo that can come in and say all of a sudden Joe Biden is president. The 79-day waiting period that we have from Election Day to Inauguration Day was designed intentionally, as articulated in the Federalist Papers, to give a moment, to give months for to allow the process to play out. So now we have a group of political elites in both parties and the business elite that want nothing more than to quickly move Joe Biden into the presidency of the United States. There are thousands of unanswered questions. And the Constitution gives us the capacity to challenge these results in court through federal judges. And I see a lot of people in the conservative landscape starting to all of a sudden talk about the inevitable Biden presidency. We will not do that here on this program. We will talk about the possible Biden presidency, but not the inevitable Biden presidency. We will go out throughout this hour and talk about some of Joe Biden's cabinet picks, but to all of a sudden surrender when these court cases have not even been heard, when many of these court cases are still being drafted, many of these lawsuits are still being created, and potential federal investigations are happening, we are not all of a sudden going to act as if the Biden presidency is 100% inevitable. And I stand corrected. The Women's Suffrage Amendment was the 19th Amendment. The point being the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment was passed by the Republican Party leading up to the 19th Amendment. And the people are sovereign in this country. That's what makes this country different. We have elections as pressure release valves so we don't tear each other apart in the streets. We have elections so that we don't dissolve into our own decentralized city-states. When you no longer trust the elections, you're not going to like what happens next. And I think right now, a lot of our politicians would benefit from taking a deep breath and pause and rereading every single word of the United States Constitution. Rereading why the founders put this process in place. The deliberative posture that they had. The skeptical nature inspired by David Hume. The protection of Enlightenment values inspired by John Locke. The checks and balances inspired by Montesquieu. If we wanted a mob rule, movement-driven political system, we would have had straight-up European-style democracy, and the Bill of Rights would be shredded. That is their goal. But when people have thousands of unanswered questions, good questions, by the way, that we have presented on this program in multiple different fashions, live streams, interviews, podcasting, on the front lines, holding rallies. We've been on the front lines actually discussing this and diving into this. Then the question would be, Why are the Republicans forgetting what it means to be a Republican? Why are conservatives all of a sudden not arguing for the process that the founding fathers gave us? If they wanted a corporate-style, open-border, China appeasement philosophy so bad, they should switch parties and call themselves Democrats, because that's what they stand for now. And we're going to keep on diving into what are the measures the U.S. Constitution gives us in this moment, because no one else is talking about that, and we refuse to act as if a Biden presidency is inevitable, because this is far from over. Have the best Thanksgiving and Christmas ever with Good Ranchers free hickory honey holiday ham. Every new subscription gets a Berkshire hickory honey smoked ham for free. The Berkshire hams are 100% no antibiotics ever, 100% hormone free, and 100% born and raised in America. Hands down, the best ham you'll ever eat. Berkshire pork, which is a heritage breed, is known as the world's best pork. And the best part is 100% free with every new subscription. Sign up today and get yours before we run out. And as always, Good Ranchers is 100% American beef and chicken, and now pork. Steaks are always USDA choice and higher. Chicken is 100% all natural, no hormones added ever. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners only with American ranches from across the U.S. to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. So go to GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com. It's the place to go. It's GoodRanchersOfTheNest.com. For the price of a family going out to dinner, you go to GoodRanchers.com. Use the promo code CHARLIE to save $20 off your purchase. GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. This is the moment for us to dive deep into our constitutional roots and use the last fail-safe and firewall that we have for our liberty and freedom. I am routinely stunned and at times disappointed at the lack of the constitutional literacy in political circles. I have to say the conservative movement has done a phenomenal job in the last decade of communicating and teaching the Constitution to young people, to patriots and members of the party, a lot better than I think in the early 2000s. With that being said, there's still many people in the conservative movement and in GOP political circles that have very little to any understanding of what the Constitution stands for and what the Constitution can offer us in a time like this. So people say, well, President Donald Trump has no path to 270 electoral votes. Therefore, the election is over. That's not the argument. The argument is not whether or not Donald Trump can get 270 electoral votes. The argument is, can any candidate get to 270 electoral votes? You see, when you have multiple states that are now going to be put in question and possibly decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, Pennsylvania and Georgia, for not following proper protocols, possibly changing votes with their Dominion voting systems and hammer and scorecard, voter registration irregularities, signature verification, poll watchers not being allowed to watch and view votes, then it's possible the U.S. Supreme Court could invalidate or at least put into question a state's electors. This is where the state legislatures come in. And so if just one or two, specifically two, states do this, Joe Biden's seemingly convincing political victory gets put into question. You see, the founding fathers gave us this system, state by state, for a reason. And so the president's path, or at least the path towards a fair and free decision here, is less about Donald Trump himself being called the winner of Michigan. The question instead is, does Joe Biden, is he really going to be able to certify, after all the court challenges, that he's the winner of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia? after all of the fraud, the irregularities, and the criminality, allegedly, that we have seen. Now, what happens all of a sudden if Joe Biden doesn't get to 270 electoral votes, goes to the House of Representatives? In the House, every state votes as one state. So California gets one vote and Kentucky gets one vote. And in that, Republicans would win that House vote. Now, of course, this is a uphill battle because our Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation has decided not to look into any of this. If there was a criminal lead on these investigations, the Trump legal team would have a much easier case. Instead, they have to go through the civil courts where a criminal investigation of issuing subpoenas, asking for documentation, looking at voter rolls, interviewing witnesses, that would be a much more efficient way. In fact, it would happen in 2 weeks. People would start to crumble and witnesses would start to go forward. Here's a really good question. What if the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Justice, issued a hotline, a public service announcement, for the next 2 weeks? If you know of any connection or evidence of voter fraud, please call this number for a potential cash reward. When the Boy Scouts of America were forced to do this because of a court decision or something forced them to do this, they ran PSAs. Certain people thought there would be maybe 10 or 12,000 people that would come out against the Boy Scouts of America and say that they were abused in one way or the other. 89,000 people came out and decided to file lawsuits. 89,000. Why is the Department of Justice not asking the American public to start blowing the whistle on what is so evident as the Great Steal? There's a constitutional process that still needs to play out. And too many Republicans and too many people on television are trying to rush this process along. It's actually time to slow everything down. I'm going to tell you why. People come to me all the time. They say, Charlie, how do I write a good resume? What do I put? What catches the eye? Because we at Turning Point USA, Turning Point Action, and the Charlie Kirk Show, we hire a combined hundreds of people a year. I know what it takes to make a good resume pop. And now there's a company that actually does it for you. It's called Top Resume. Top Resume is the world's number one authority on resume writing. Professional writers with specific expertise in resume writing. Recruiters and hiring managers lean on tech solutions to scan resumes for top picks. Top resume writers know the keywords to use to get your resume seen. When was the last time you wrote a resume? Do you know what it takes to get noticed when applying for jobs in today's competitive market? I've seen what they do. You guys want a job? Then use Top Resume. No excuses. Find out how your resume stacks up. Go to topresume.com/Kirk to get a free resume review. It's as simple as uploading your resume to their site, and you'll get a free evaluation and expert advice on how to make it stronger. Topresume.com is also giving my listeners 15% off their professional resume writing services. So go to topresume.com/Kirk today for your comprehensive resume review and 15% off resume writing services if you want to work with a pro. That's topresume.com/Kirk, topresume.com/Kirk. What are you supposed to do when you come across some form of an injustice? What is the significance of calling out theft, nonsense, the cutting of corners, or rules that are in desperate need of being changed? This being Thanksgiving week, I think it's appropriate to use a sports analogy for this. I love football. I think football is an expression of a lot of things that we actually go through in politics and in the rest of our life. I shouldn't say the real world, because football is absolutely the real world. So politics and football have a lot of things in common. There is a defined date, of which the contest must be held. There's a sequence and a schedule. There's a lot of pressure to perform, and there's a finality to it. There's a stoppage time. There is someone that should be crowned as a winner at some point. And I was thinking to myself, what were some of the most unjust, unfair examples in football where people had things stolen from them? Probably the most famous in my lifetime was the Dez Bryant catch against the Green Bay Packers. You remember that? Dez Bryant clearly caught the football. Look, the Cowboys struggle in all high-pressure situations, especially against the Green Bay Packers. I think it was at Lambeau Field, actually. Yeah, that's right, it was. Dez Bryant absolutely caught this ball. There's no question whatsoever. Packer fans would disagree. And the rules as written did not benefit Dez Bryant. Now, it actually resulted in a nullification and a changing of the rules because of that. Because it was such a horrible injustice of what happened to the Cowboys. Similarly, New Orleans Saints, I think it was last year against the Minnesota Vikings, or 2 years ago, one of the most botched missed pass interference calls in the history of the sport. In fact, I think it resulted in a change of the capacity review plays. Now, here's a really interesting thing, though. When you're in a competitive sports environment and you're the Packers and you see clearly that Dez Bryant caught the ball, but you say he didn't, you're putting on a jersey and you're no longer being neutral. And that's okay. That's part of sports, by the way. You're not actually looking at what happened. You're looking at what you want to have happened. And politics is no different. And so the media, instead of being a referee in a football game and saying whether or not there was cheating and stealing or a football equivalent pass interference, they have put on a jersey of team left and they are cheering the fact that Donald Trump is being robbed in real time. Instead of actually being fair, neutral observers, instead of trying to call nonsense or throw a flag when they see it, instead of saying that there are voting irregularities, a 1,774% increase in voter registration for 90-plus-year-olds in the state of Pennsylvania in the midst of a pandemic, they've decided to be nakedly partisan and put on the equivalent of a sports jersey. And all of us have been through this in sports. Think of your favorite football team, your favorite baseball team, your favorite basketball team. You almost convince yourself that the instant replay benefits you. You try to see something that isn't there. Oh, no, no. He totally reached across the goal line and it was a touchdown. It's as if your commentary on what happens is influenced by your desired outcome. And that's very normal in athletic competitions. It's also normal in politics. What's unhealthy, though, is the people that are supposed to have no bias whatsoever, such as the Department of Justice, the FBI, as the people that are be counting votes, and the media, they all of a sudden have said, we are no longer going to be referees or umpires. We are now going to be in the game. And so here's the very strange turn of events. When you have a football game or a baseball game or a basketball game with no umpires or referees, then who's going to enforce the rules when both teams don't trust each other? And that's where we are right now. We are now living through a political moment with no referees, where everything, anything goes. And we see clearly that fraud is happening. We see clearly that this entire game that we're playing is now a rigged game against the president. So what's our remedy? Well, it's not to turn to the referee because they're bought and paid for. They're compromised. Instead, it's to go a step higher. It could be the commissioner. It could be whatever analogy you want to use. The point is this, is that in a moment where the media would be winning Pulitzer Prizes for investigative work. They have decided that any sort of investigative or uncovering journalism would actually be doing evil. The activist media, if they actually deployed their resources, if they cared about the well-being of our country more than their hatred of Donald Trump, if the activist media actually, even in a selfish way, wanted to become famous and popular, they would strip themselves of any sort of partisan bias. And they would start looking into this. So here's a really good question for the lead news reporter at the New York Times, who on the front page of the New York Times today. Let's take any one of these people. Coral Davenport, Jenna Smaylik, Michael Crowley, Jenna Smaylik again. Any one of these people. Maggie Haberman, Rebecca Robbins, Benjamin Mueller, Stephen Lee Myers, Keith Bradshaw, any one of these people. Why haven't any one of these people got on a plane and flew to Nevada to look into the Nevada Native Project, where we have picture evidence, thanks to the Federalist, who's done an amazing job of this, of gas cards being exchanged for ballots? If they actually went into an investigative posture like they did against President Trump, where they went on a multi-year fishing expedition to go find President Trump's tax returns, ended up being successful. If they just did 1% of the investigative work that they did against President Trump, they would uncover a vast, well-funded, sophisticated voter fraud and voter influence operation that would be worthy of every single journalistic prize imaginable. Why are they not doing it? A couple reasons. Number one, it's the same reason why they didn't cover the Hunter Biden story. Some of these journalists, not at the New York Times, but some of these journalists at some of these less partisan outlets, The Hill, Axios, they really mean well. But they're actually in a form of an invisible handcuff. Because they're scared. They're terrified. They're terrified that if they actually covered the Hunter Biden laptop, if they cover the voter fraud, if they cover the cutting of corners, that they might be blamed for giving Donald Trump a second term. That their Twitter mentions would be relentlessly awful, that their kids would not get into the correct boarding schools, that they'd lose all their friends in the social circle, and they would be deemed wildly unpopular. And this theory, by the way, is not my own. This theory is being pushed by a man whom I actually disagreed with vehemently for many years. But in these very strange times, we're seeing kind of the axis and allies of new kind of formed alliances of Glenn Greenwald. I listened to Glenn Greenwald on Joe Rogan. And again, he's a Bernie Sanders liberal, but he is a Fourth Amendment supporter. And he's also very smart and very fair, I have to say. Took a lot of courage for him to report and release the Edward Snowden tapes. A lot of courage, and he deserves courage for that. But Glenn Greenwald said very clearly that these reporters are in a posture of fear because they don't want to be known as the person that gives Donald Trump his second term. I want you to take a pause and think about the consequences of a journalistic class that instead of doing their job, they take pause to say, what will it actually mean for my social status? So that's reason number one as why you're seeing no widespread investigations into any of this voter fraud. It's not because the voter fraud isn't there. We know that. We've been through that. We see the suspicion of a massive criminal organized network that does this. And just to look at this rationally and logically, how could you possibly say that people cheat on their taxes, they cheat when they drive to work, they cheat on Monopoly, they cheat when they play video games, they cheat in every single thing in life, but the one thing that there is no cheating whatsoever, and you're a racist if you dare ask the question, is voting. When the ultimate prize of voting is control of a $4 trillion government, the largest standing army in the history of the world, and the entire geopolitical infrastructure or climate or whatever you want to call it is at your disposal. That is when there's no cheating whatsoever. Laundering drug money? Of course there's cheating there. Taking control of the $4 trillion government, everyone acts totally ethically and wonderfully. And maybe the cheating is even deeper than we can imagine because they know no one's going to look into it. They know that the FBI and the Department of Justice won't show up. And this baseless and silly and factless argument where people say, there's no evidence of this. We have plenty of evidence of it. And just how the Boston Globe investigated the cover-up of the Archdiocese of Boston in the 60s and 70s, the same way that the New York Times went after the Harvey Weinstein scandal, the same way that reporters went after Jeffrey Epstein, all of a sudden we uncover that there's more to the story than we could have ever possibly imagined. Journalists are supposed to go into the unknown, supposed to go into the unconfirmed. They're supposed to go into the shaky terrain and see if there's anything to it. And all of a sudden, when you start digging, you realize that there's nothing here, or you might all of a sudden uncover something bigger than your wildest imaginations could have concluded. And so we have a moment now where the journalists have put on their jerseys. They're not acting as umpires or referees. Now it's on us, the people, to do that work, to look into it, to demand justice, to find the fraud, and to challenge it in the last portion of fairness we have in our society, which is the courts. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, one day only sale. Wouldn't you just rather work with a company who puts you on a pedestal every day? That's what you get with Pure Talk, a veteran-run wireless company who understands what it means to serve. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, if you're with them, you're overpaying pure and simple. Pure Talk can easily save you over $400 a year. Listen, this is all you need. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. I wouldn't be putting my name behind this if I didn't know that these were veterans that love their country, unlike other people that are in the corporate space. I can tell you, if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. What a novelty, a company that actually puts their customers first. Switching to Pure Talk is the easiest decision you'll make today. You can keep your phone and your number or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and just say Charlie Kirk. It's the password, secret word, Charlie Kirk. Pure Talk, simply smarter, wireless. So there's a couple fights at once that we must be engaging in simultaneously. One of which, of course, is the fight to get President Trump a second term. However, simultaneously, we must also make sure that this radical communist style candidate, Raphael Warnock, does not become a U.S. senator in Georgia. And if you are in the state of Georgia, if you're in the American Southeast and you're wondering, how can I avenge this injustice towards President Trump? Georgia would be a good place to start. And I have a good relationship with Senator David Perdue and Senator Kelly Loeffler. I don't agree with them on every single issue. I spoke out against Senator Loeffler back in the spring and about some of the suspicions around insider trading. And it turns out that she had some good explanations about that. I could not be more all in about behind the cause of getting these two Republican senators reelected. It is no longer about whether or not it's a preference of Loeffler and Perdue being your favorite candidates. It is now a moral imperative that we rise up in record numbers and make sure Republicans keep the Senate. Let's play this tape of Raphael Warnock, who would end up being one of the most radical senators in United States history. Play tape.
We're in a special moment. We are in an evil moment. We are in a tragic moment. And I suggest to you that our politics is symptomatic of our sickness. We've got a lot of problems, but I would not be a prophet if I did not tell you that racism is America's pre-existing condition.
That racism is America's pre-existing condition. So Raphael Warnock is a pastor from Atlanta, I think, right? He's from Atlanta. He is a radical Marxist, pro-abortion Christian. Not sure how that one works out. And his agenda would be Green New Deal, Bernie Sanders-style governance. And he's going to try to get the Senate in Joe Biden's control, which would be a dominance of all systems of power in Washington, D.C. If you're looking for something to get behind, if you're looking for something to support outside of this critical fight in the courts, we must fight on both fronts. We must fight a two-front war right now against the American left, both in the courts and the recount, the veracity and seeking the truth of what's happened for President Trump's second term. And yes, also keeping Chuck Schumer from becoming Senate Majority Leader. It's critical. And Mitch McConnell has been phenomenal on the courts and on justices. He was great on not bailing out many of the states that asked for billions and billions of dollars. And I personally am going to Georgia next week to do a couple events to help support Senator Loeffler and Senator Perdue. A Republican Senate would at least buy our beautiful republic, this gift that we have been given that we should be thankful for this week, a little bit of time. I know some Republicans are on the fence. Should I get engaged and get involved? Yes. Now's the time to avenge the injustice against President Trump, that every grassroots conservative rises up in record numbers in Georgia and you make it clear that President Trump's legacy will be protected. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war, and if you want to come down to our big conference in Palm Beach in just about a month, it's tpusa.com/SAS. That's tpusa.com/SAS. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon. God bless.